Thank you very much. I saw a few things here this morning that touched my heart. First one was when we were singing the song at the beginning of the prayer service this morning. I was standing in the back there with my little girl, and Leroy was next to me. And the next thing I knew, I looked down, and he was holding my little girl's hand. And he must have got tired eventually, and he put his hand in his pocket, and I saw her reaching down there, trying to grab his hand. And I thank God I'm in a church. There's not a generation gap. That my little girl can hold the hands and hug the people I see around me and love them, and they can love her. Another thing that happened, Glenn asked me if I had a song I wanted to pick out for this morning. And I got to thinking about it. I thought for a second. I said, well, I'm pretty sure that most of the time it seems like there's something between the person that picks out the song and God, because they always seem to pick the right one, and the right one was picked again today, and it was a very song that I had on my heart. I love to tell the story. I do have a message today, and I want to talk to you about the missionary endeavor. You know, a lot of times it seems like to some people that's going to leave a bunch of our people out. But I'm talking to everybody here today. How many people were born and raised in the Church of Christ? Raise your hand. I see a goodly number. How many of you weren't born and raised in the Church of Christ? Raise your hand. I see just as many. All these people in some way or some form or another are a product of the missionary endeavor of the church, as well as some of us that were raised in it. There are some elements of our life, some things that we need to be doing, and I want to talk to you about them today, and I feel them very strongly. Sam took some of my thoughts away from me today when he stood up in his testimony. I want to start today by reading on page 652 in the Book of Mormon. That's the third Book of Nephi, the 8th chapter. I want to read to you verses 52 through 54. He says here, pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. And behold, ye shall meet together oft. And this is Christ talking. I want you to keep that in mind. These aren't my words. And the things I read to you today, they aren't from me. But I believe every word of it. And I think they're here for a purpose. And Christ is telling us, he's telling us, you people in the church, meet together oft. And behold, ye shall meet together oft, and ye shall not forbid any man from coming unto you when ye shall meet together, but suffer them that they may come unto you, and forbid them not. But ye shall pray for them, and shall not cast them out. And if it so be that they come unto you oft, ye shall pray for them unto the Father in my name. Therefore hold up your light, that it may shine unto the world. Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which ye have seen me do. Probably one of the most important endeavors in the church in a missionary sense begins in a local. A local is the most important. That's probably where most people are converted, are right there by a local. They have some friend or some family in the church. I want to read another scripture in the 18th chapter of Matthew. And you'll see where I'm getting at when we begin here. In the 18th chapter of Matthew, starting in the 20th verse, he says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." You know, long I've contemplated how important it is for us to be at church. And I'm somebody that believes that if there's a church service and I can at all make it, I'm going to be there. And I don't feel like I'm fulfilling my covenant to the Lord unless I am. And I'll tell you why. And I'll tell you some of the benefits I read here in Matthew where he says, where two or three are met together in my name, he says, I'm going to be in the midst of them. You know, you can stay home and you can study and you can pray, but it's not like being at church. It's not meeting with your fellow brothers and sisters. And there's things that you can't fulfill when you're not there. There's responsibilities that you have to your brothers and sisters that you cannot fulfill unless you're there with them. Unless you share in their trials and their burdens and their joys. And I'm not saying the Lord doesn't touch people when they're home studying or home praying. I'm not saying that at all. But there's a special blessing about meeting together with our brothers and sisters. I want to give you an example. Two people that I love very much. One of them's not with us anymore. I want to give you an example of why you need to be to church. These two ladies and their families are isolated, away from the church. But the ministry from Phoenix that ministered to them, we've always told them, listen, you know, it's important that we meet together. And they set aside time during the week. Their time was Friday night. That was the best night for them. And every Friday night, like clockwork, they met together, two ladies and their kids. And they prayed. And they shared and they studied. And they didn't give up their time just because they didn't live next to a local. And in the hardest times of their life, there happened to be a certain time, one of them was going through a horrible divorce. The divorce was caused because she was a member of the church. And she held strong to her convictions. And it was a time of trial in her life. And the other one's husband was off working all the time, and she hardly ever saw him. And it was a trial in her life. And here in the worst part of their lives, they met together one Friday night. And as they prayed, one of them opened their eyes, and she saw between them an angel with its hands on both of them, strengthening them and ministering to them. And there was two of them met there. We need to be at church. That's the most important thing in the missionary program of the church. And you are all a part of it. It doesn't hinge on 12 apostles. It doesn't hinge on 70 evangelists. It hinges on the locals and the churches and our need to be there. And the thing I just told you about, that experience, that is part of what you can get out of being there. Something that we should expect to get out of there. The Lord told us if we're there, if we meet, He's going to be there in our midst. If I truly believe that, I'm going to go expecting to meet Him there. I want to read again on page 259. This is part of the reason why I say we haven't fulfilled our responsibility to the Lord if we skip out on church. Starting in verse 38, this was Alma, and he was talking to these folks. They were getting ready to be baptized. And it says, and it came to pass that he said unto them, behold, here are the waters of Mormon, for thus were they called. And now, as ye are desirous to come into this fold of God and to be called His people, and are willing to bear one another's burdens that they may be light, yea, and are willing to mourn with those that mourn, yea, and comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand as witnesses of God at all times and in all things and in all places that ye may be in, even until death, that ye may be redeemed of God and be numbered with those of the first resurrection, that ye may have eternal life. You know, there's things here that you and I can't do unless we know what's going on with somebody. You know, a year ago at the youth camp, we had an opportunity as a bunch of young people. We all met there, and we didn't know there was a particular burden on the mind of one of our sisters there. She had a friend that was killed just a few days earlier. We had a meeting one night, and that came out at a campfire meeting. You know, she wasn't the only one standing there crying. And there was a bunch of young people there that shared in her mourning. And you can't share with your brothers and sisters the things that you need to share if you aren't there. How many times have I heard, oh, that God would speak to us, but what good would it do Him to speak with us if we aren't even there? If I can come Sunday morning and there's 80 folks out in the congregation and Wednesday night only 20 show up, well, maybe it's only for the 20 to hear. But then you can't complain if He doesn't speak to you. You don't have a right to complain. And if we're going to fulfill our responsibility to the church, to the missionary program, to these people that I look out here, I heard one of them call a song today. I heard a young man give a testimony. These are people that weren't members of our church 2 years ago. And I love them to death, and they're here today. There's reasons why they're here. And I know all of you love them. And this is the thing that I'm saying. We can't be satisfied with what we are. Today, you know, when I went to the conference this year, I think the first time in 11 years I heard our membership go up. And I was thrilled. I was thrilled to the bone. And that's what I think. Oh boy, would I love to hear that again next year. And the next year. And I've seen good, solid members of the Church of Christ here this year. Some of them that I've never met. We have a part. You, the people. We, the ministry. We have a part in the locals. It's up to us to be there to build a strong local. What does that mean to have a strong local? Is it only congregations that are 80 or over? Or is it congregations of 10 that everybody goes? Is it congregations of 8 that everybody goes and gives part and works and labors and witnesses to the people around them? That's a congregation, a strong local, is when the members are involved and they go. They support the work of God. And like I said, you know, we can't expect great things of the Lord. We can't expect Him to speak to us. We can't expect to be able to share with our brothers and sisters when we're not there to share with them. And when we're not there to meet with Him like He promised us when we meet 2 or 3 of us, or a dozen of us, or 25 or 50. He said He'd be there if we aren't there to meet with Him. We're the ones that have lost out. And we haven't furthered His church. We haven't furthered the work of the gospel, and we haven't been a part. Sam said today in his testimony how important it was to get young people there. I want to put a big star next to that. It is. We had a meeting Thursday night. A spiritual meeting. A very spiritual meeting. Among the young people at the youth camp. It was around a campfire. And the thing that touched me the most was that the majority of the testimonies was asking forgiveness for something they had done against maybe somebody there. And it was big, giant burdens that these young kids carried. Just as big as any burdens that any adult has had. And they brought their burdens there. And I heard, I don't know how many say, pray for me or pray for this friend, this horrible burden. Pray for my parents. They got burdens too. They need to be in these meetings. They need to be in your church locals. They got burdens. And their burdens, they just don't get taken care of at school. I think I've made that point pretty clear. And I think the Scriptures have and the Lord has. It's something He requires of us. And if we want to see things happen, if we want to see and embrace new people like we will this evening in the hands of fellowship, we need to make sure that we do our part. It's not up to the ministry to go out and do that. It's up to us as locals, as people, as brothers and sisters to get ourselves where we know we're supposed to be. That's just as important and much more effective than some of our brothers that travel and see isolated people or try to get new contacts. That's a hard thing. I've had just a little experience in it. It's a hard thing. And it's not near as effective many times. We need to make sure our churches are built up. I want to talk to you about something else that is required of us. We can find in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. In the 3rd chapter of 1 Peter, starting with verse 13, he says, "And who is he that will harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. And be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is with you, that is in you, with meekness and fear." You know, we're going to read one more, and then I'll just have a few comments there. But it says it pretty clear. Page 406 in your Book of Mormon. We also read, if you remember, there when we read about that covenant these people had to be willing to partake of there, when Alma was telling them at the Waters of Mormon. Part of that they needed to be willing to do was to stand as witnesses of God at all times and in all things and in all places that you may be in. You know, that's kind of a hard thing. And we'll touch on that in just a second. We're going to start in verse 46. It says, "And from the first year to the 15th has brought to pass the destruction of many thousand lives. Yea, it has brought to pass an awful scene of bloodshed. And the bodies of many thousands are laid low in the earth, while the bodies of many thousands are moldering in heaps upon the face of the earth." He's telling about horrible destruction here among the people. And it's important that you know this is what he's beginning with. He's talking about the deaths of many people. And he says, "Yea, and many thousands are mourning for the loss of their kindred, because they have reason to fear, according to the promises of God, that they are consigned to a state of endless woe. While many thousands of others truly mourn for the loss of their kindred, yet they rejoice and exult in the hope, yea, and even know, according to the promise of the Lord, that they are raised to dwell at the right hand of God, in a state of never-ending happiness. And thus we see how great the inequality of man is, because of sin and transgression and the power of the devil, which comes by the cunning plans that he hath devised to ensnare the hearts of men. And thus we see the great call of diligence of men to labor in the vineyards of the Lord. And thus we see the great reason of sorrow and also of rejoicing, sorrow because of death and destruction among men, and joy because of the light of Christ and the life." You got to have a love for people before you can feel these kind of things. And you got to have a love before you can be an effective witness of Christ. He's given us reasons right here. We see what the great call is. There's two ways people can go, and there's a horrible gulf that divides them. And we mourn for those that we fear for. And we rejoice for those that we want to share the light of Christ, and they seem receptive. He says, "Oh, that I were an angel and could have the wish in mine heart, that I might go forth and speak with the trump of God, with a voice to shake the earth, and cry repentance unto every people. Yea, I would declare unto every soul, as with the voice of thunder, repentance and the plan of redemption, that they should repent and come unto our God, that there might be no more sorrow upon all the face of the earth. But behold, I am a man, and do sin in my wish, for I ought to be content with the things which the Lord hath allotted unto me. And I ought not to harrow up in my desires the firm decree of a just God. For I know that he granteth unto men according to their desires, whether it be unto death or unto life. Yea, I know that he allotteth unto men, yea, decreeth unto them, decrees which are unalterable, according to their wills, whether they be unto salvation or unto destruction. Yea, and I know that good and evil hath come before all men. Or he that knoweth not good from evil is blameless. But he that knoweth good and evil, to him is given according to his desires, whether he desireth good or evil, life or death, joy or remorse of conscience. Now seeing that I know these things, why should I desire more than to perform the work which I have been called?" Why should I desire that I were an angel, that I could speak unto all the ends of the earth? For behold, the Lord doth grant unto all nations of their own kin, nation and tongue to teach his word, yea, in wisdom, all that he seeth fit that they should have. Therefore we see that the Lord doth counsel in wisdom according to that which is just and true. I know that which the Lord hath commanded me, and I glory in it. I do not glory of myself, but I glory in that which the Lord hath commanded me. Yea, and this is my glory, that perhaps I may be an instrument in the hands of God to bring some soul to repentance. And this is my joy. How many of you can feel that way? How many of you have had an opportunity to look in the eyes of somebody that you're trying to share the gospel with, and to feel the feelings of your heart when you know that you showed them a better way of life, that you showed them a place where they can find joy and contentment and fullness of life? We have a responsibility to witness. You know, I have been a person that's had a hard time witnessing as I grew up. And I was pretty hard on myself, number one, because I was a minister. That I had a hard time sharing with the people I worked with and with the people I went to school with. And I was afraid of what they'd say about me. But I came to a conclusion in my life that I'd rather them say all kinds of things about me. I'd rather they laughed and mocked with me about me than to not tell some friend that I loved about a better way of life, about the gospel of Christ. I was told as I prayed, and I had this hang up, you know, that we in the Church of Christ, we need to be more bold. You need to be ready to stand up for the things you believe in. You need to tell. You need to share with the people that are around you, the people you work with. You know, we had a missionary program in Phoenix. We tried to reach out to the people in our immediate area, and we sent out thousands of flyers. Thousands of flyers to all these people that were within 2 miles of our church. And the one that came is sitting right back there in a red dress. She doesn't even live there, but she heard it from work. And the Lord called out unto her. She's here with us today. I don't know how many instances I've seen in the last 2 years where the Lord's calling out to people in this world and trying to bring them out. And they're searching and they're looking. And they're looking for people like you and me that can tell them. Tell them where these things are that they're searching for. But you've got to be able to be a faithful witness to the Lord. And it's your responsibility. And once you do it, and you see somebody touched, I guarantee you, you'll want to do it again. And you'll want to keep telling that story. And you'll see somebody else that you love. And you won't feel content with 50 members in your congregation. Or 25 or 10. You know, they don't all start out big. The Phoenix local had just a little group at one time, and I'm sure every other local did. But as time went, they could grow. And the Lord worked with the people, and they were witnessing, and children were born, and they were raised, and they're still there. Still taking their part. And some of them that had begun to stray are coming back. Praise be to God. But it's because they were there, and they shared in these things in their young life. I want to talk to you again about another subject. We're going to read about it on page 668. Again, Christ is quoting. If you've ever asked, well, what about the missionary endeavor of the church? You are the missionary endeavor. Remember that. You have an important part. If it wasn't for you, it wouldn't get done. You can't leave it to just a handful of men and say, here, guys, the fields are white and ready to harvest. That's nice. But you got a part in it. And you got to take your part. We find here in chapter 11, Christ is quoting Malachi. Many of you probably already know what I'm going to talk about. Here's another way that we need to support the missionary endeavor of the church. And it's not up to all the ministry to do it. Yeah, they have to do it too. But it's up to all of us. It's something that the Lord requires of us. He says here in verse 10, he said, even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? I don't think anybody here, if they really thought about it, would try even attempt to rob the Lord. He says, but yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. That's his answer. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Do you believe that? Do you believe that if you give the Lord His due, that was never ours to begin with, that He's going to pour out a blessing on you that you can't receive it? It's so big. We don't have a right to take from the Lord what's His. He requires of us that we give. We give a tenth of our increase. We find in the Bible, and I'm not going to read it, we find where because the people were given this, that the Lord required of them, that they called seven people out and they appointed seven men to take care of those affairs. What those seven men did or would do, it was on their shoulders. They as well feel the call to be responsible to what the Lord, to what's the Lord's. It's not ours to judge what they do. To the point that we say to the Lord, well, I'm going to wait. I'm not going to give your money right now. We don't have a right to say that. That money that's the Lord's, it goes to His work. And there's a lot of different places it goes, but it all ends up in His work. There's people that have needs. Some of that money goes to them. They go to build new locals and congregations. And do we need new locals and congregations? You bet. One of the goals of the August Ministers Conference set a year ago was that when we talked about the missionary endeavor, I guess it was 2 years ago, that every year we want to have a new mission in the church. Or we wanted to see a new building built or a new local. That was a goal of ours. These things can't be accomplished without the help of the people. And those of you that have ministry travel to you, isolated members, I don't know how many testimonies I've heard about you giving them money to help them along. Well, sometimes people can't do it. They just don't have it. But you give them a meal and help them along, and that's part of it. It should be expected of us. That we help along the work of God in whatever way it is, small though it be. And I've heard these stories about families that what may their children wait. Let the missionaries eat. And I believe they received a blessing for it. And that's some of the offerings he's talking about. Don't hold back on the Lord. We don't have that right. We can't rob Him. We have to take our part. And that again is another of these little intricate parts of the missionary program of the church, or the endeavor that we have to reach out to people. It's something that we need. I want to move on. I want to talk to you a little bit. I want to talk to you a little bit out of Mark, the 8th chapter. You know, I liked the sermon last night because he was talking to everybody. He didn't single anybody out, and I'm not going to single anybody out because we all have a part in this, and it's all important. In the 8th chapter of Mark, I want to talk to you about something that's required of us as members of the gospel of Christ. These are the words of Christ as well. And he says, in the 34th verse, he says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Well, how far reaching does denying yourself go? It's a sacrifice. The gospel of Christ is a sacrifice. There's things that we want to do. There's vacations I would love to take, but I can't do it and make it to the reunion as well. I'd have to forfeit one or the other. And I'd rather be here. Because you guys coming to see you is a vacation for me. There's a lot of things we could do. Stay home and play games. Maybe spend time with your family that you don't get to and miss church. You got to deny yourselves. I want to talk to you a little bit about sacrifice. You know, I don't know much about it, but I've experienced a little part of it in my life. I accepted an obligation to go to the Navajo Reservation a few times in the year at the minister's conference last year. And you know, when you think about being a missionary, you get these romantic ideas. Oh man, you know, you think about all the people you're going to talk to, and people getting excited, and you think about these things. Sometimes it's not nearly what you think until you take a trip. Our little girl was born in October last year. First trip I took was in December. And I took one almost every month until July for at least 5 days. And I went up there. You know, while I was gone away from my wife and my child, I talked to my wife and she says, "Amy rolled over for the first time today." Another time she says, "She just crawled today. You know, I had to miss that. Something I would love to see." But I also had the opportunity to sit there in the houses or in a hogan with a dirt floor and talk to people that were thrilled, that tried to read the Book of Mormon, that wanted to know. You know, I was with Brother Jay and one of the gals there asked him a question. "What does this scripture mean?" And she started reading it to him, and I was sitting there and I was trying to entertain her kids and another fellow that never said the word boo until this time, and then I couldn't get him to be quiet. And I wanted to help, and I thought, the best help I can be is just let him go. Let Jay talk to this young lady. And she started reading about some of the covenants of the Lord to the house of Israel. And she says, "What does this mean?" And it applied to her people. And I was thrilled. And in my heart, I knew that's where we had to.